Well, welcome to our open line portion now of Coast to Coast AM. Just about anything goes, but I am interested in you sharing some of your stories of scary things that have happened in your life. Now, I know it's not a Friday night, but still, let's shift gears just a little bit, even though open lines call about what you want, but share some scary stories with us, things that have happened to you. You know, how you avoided death. Or some strange person was following you at night. Something like that. Well, as the callers line up from all over this planet, we shall go to you with open lines here on Coast to Coast AM. To get us started, let us go to Summer in Lawrence, Kansas. Quaint area. Hello, Summer. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. First-time caller, and it's very much of an honor to be on the show.
Oh, great. I'm glad. What finally got you to call?
I started a paper route and started to listen to the show and was amazed and sad that I hadn't heard about it before.
Well, that's great. And how long have you started this paper route?
About 2 months.
Good for you. How's that going for you? I mean, are people still buying newspapers?
You know, they are, and it's a love-hate relationship because I don't like reading the paper because it's very sad to me. But I like being able to make somebody else's day positive with the way that I deliver the paper.
In the old days, the newspapers used to be much thicker than they are today.
Yes. Yes, they really are. Sundays is the biggest, and it's mostly because of the coupons.
Yeah. Well, I would hope that the newspapers still continue to thrive. I think we need them. We need good journalism, and they're critical.
Yes.
So what's on your mind?
You know, I heard about the scary story thing just now, but I really wanted to touch base on the politic conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I really feel that the only way that we're going to get out of this choosing of the lesser of the two evils that I've heard so much growing up, the Republican and the Democrat, there's other parties, and we are taught from the day that we first start school, red and blue, Republican, Democrat. And we have other options. The moment that we open our eyes and realize that there are other options, we might actually get a president that is going to do positive things for this country instead of point at everybody else for the problems that we create.
Gosh, I would hope so. I would really hope so. Now share the scary story. I want to hear that.
Okay, so me and my friends, I was probably about 17, 18, had just gotten my license. And we were going up to this scary cemetery, and there was a legend that a police officer was chasing somebody down this road, and there was a turn, and both of them had missed the turn and went off into a very large drop-off and died. I had learned about it after the fact, but we were driving, and I missed the 15-mile-an-hour turn. And I was probably going about 35. I looked in front of me. I saw no road. I looked to the side and saw the road turning off, and a snowy road with bald tires.
Oh.
And I think I did a total of 3 180 turns going around this corner, having to cut the wheel both to the left and the right multiple times to try to make sure I didn't go off into the opposite sides of the ditch. By the time we stopped, we were perpendicular to the road and alive.
That's scary.
The scariest thing that I've ever been through.
I got to tell you, and thanks for the call, Summer, but I just picked up an all-wheel drive in St. Louis, so I've got it for the winter time. There's nothing worse than trying to drive on snow with a rear-wheel car, and you just don't go anywhere. You can't. Danny, you're from Indiana, right? Same thing. You've had snow before. It's horrible. I couldn't even get up my driveway when it would snow. You'd get a half an inch of snow, and I couldn't get up my driveway. I'd come sliding halfway down. It's crazy. We'll take a couple more calls. And don't forget, we're taking your text messages as well. Tom's got the phone, and so he will read me four of them tonight. So get through. If you can't get through on the show, just send them a text message, if you would. Let's go to Vicki in Michigan. Welcome to the program. Hi, Vicki.
Hello, George.
How are you? Whereabouts in Michigan are you?
Well, I'm up in northern Michigan by Mount Pleasant.
Okay, that's pretty up there.
Yeah, it's a great place to live. I was wondering if you might be able to take a guess, or maybe you have some information on an idea, anyways, of how you think that draft might work. Do you think they'd really uproot all 18 to 25 year old, they say the men and women?
If they do, we really are in trouble.
And demand that they all stop their lives and report to the draft?
That's horrible. They did that back in the Vietnam era, and it was unbelievable.
Did they go all the way up to the age of 25?
I can't remember the age they went up to, but what they did, Vicki, then is they had a lottery. And so your birth date, every birthday was assigned a number, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like mine is June 4. It's June 4. They picked for June 4, and it came out, you know, number 20, for example. And they had a cutoff on numbers in terms of who would get drafted. So, you know, if you were like 180, the chances are you weren't going to get drafted. But if you were 50, you were going to get drafted.
Okay.
I think they would do something like that all over again.
Okay, so they wouldn't bring everybody up all at once.
No.
Create that much
no.
of an upheaval.
If they bring everybody up at once, we're in a major league world war, and everything's threatened.
Okay. And if you happen to know young people who would not do it, I mean, I know in the past I've heard stories that they went to Canada, but Canada...
Well, in the Vietnam era, a lot of people went to Canada and escaped. In terms of today, do I know anybody who wouldn't go? No, I don't know any younger kids who would refuse to go, but I'm sure there's some that would not want to.
And if they didn't go to Canada, or Canada wouldn't take you, then it's jail, right?
It was jail in those days.
And for the amount of time that you'd be in the draft, would you be in jail that long?
Do
you remember?
I'm not sure they could put them away for too long.
Okay. And
probably a couple of years. A couple of years, maybe.
Was it a 4-year draft?
It was a 4-year draft, yep.
Okay, great. Then you had a lot of information. I appreciate it.
Okay, you got it.
Thank you.
All right, Vicki. Yep, if we have to go to the draft again, that means this planet is in total war and chaos. And I hope it doesn't come to that at all. I prefer the volunteer efforts. I've got a friend of mine, she's a Marine, and she was from San Antonio, Texas, and she was never interested in the military, but she wanted to straighten out her life, and so she has done her 4 years as a Marine. They're stationing her in Hawaii now, and she's thinking of re-upping again. Truly amazing, but boy, it has done a remarkable job for her personally. Tom, you've got a text message for us, so what do we have?
We have something from Kira in Indiana. I think I want to become a prepper. I am curious, if our grid was hit, would we just lose communication, or would we be in physical danger?
Well, this is how I'll sound when the grid is hit. Ready?
Don't talk. Yep, silence.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah. There's no real physical danger. It's just we lose communication.
Well, but the physical danger becomes when you can't get water because the pumping stations don't work. You can't get gasoline because the gasoline pumps don't work.
Your ATMs don't work.
ATMs don't work. Money won't mean much because there will be nothing left to buy because people will loot, riot, and do everything else. It's going to be total chaos in a horrible, horrible mess. I'll be talking to Bill Forstin about that in Asheville, North Carolina event. He is an expert. He's been on our programs many times. He's done a Beyond Belief show. He's done so many things. He thinks, based on the numbers he has heard, 90% of the American people will die within the first year.
Whoa.
90%.
Were you here for the L.A. riots? I don't remember.
No, but I was in Detroit in the early 60s and the mid-60s during the riots there, 67, I think it was, 60, yeah.
I was four. I missed that.
That was a mess.
Yep.
That was a mess. Okay.
Thanks.
Kansas City, we go. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program.
Hey, George. Thanks for having me on. Now, I want to ask you a question here in a little bit. I want to say something first, though. Have you ever heard of a documentary called The Corporation?
The Corporation? No, I have not.
It came out several years ago, and it did win many awards, like at Cannes Film Festival, and I think maybe Redford's. And it's a two-disc set. It's about 6 or 7 hours. It tells the history of corporations and how when they first began, large cities would charter an entity to, like, build a bridge or a road. And those things were not handed out just willy-nilly, and they were very controlled. And and kept under tight, you know, restrictions. And they say as time went on, corporations actually gained the same rights as an individual, as a human being.
That's right.
And it's a fascinating documentary. But my question to you is, and I wanted to ask Craig, at what point was it a point of no return for corporations that are just so out of control? And grim his story seemed to be, because it didn't seem like there was any beginning with Craig about where do you even begin to pull back from this terrible thing. I mean, it's, you know, people out here in the real world, they just get a sense of hopelessness. They feel hopeless, George.
After World War II ended, Dwight Eisenhower, who was a general then, got the Republican nomination years later and became president from 52 to 60. Then, when he was leaving office in 1960, after Kennedy got elected, inaugurated in January of 61, Eisenhower said, be aware of the industrial military complex.
Right.
And
right.
The relationship between them. And he knew then that we were in trouble, and we haven't stopped.
And this was a former military guy trying to shoot straight with us.
That's right.
My question is, though, is how does it, just a citizen, how do the people really, you know, quit being just useful idiots for corporations? Because I feel like that's how we're looked at by politicians and corporations. How do you begin to even begin to turn this thing around?
I'm not sure it's doable to turn it around. I think that you probably have to create your own island of your life and make it happen and take care of your family and the people you care about and, you know, make your life something enjoyable. We've got incredible freedoms in this country. This is the best country on the planet. Look, when you hear Craig Hewlett talk, trust me here. He's an American. He loves this country. Loves it deeply. Just doesn't like what he sees happening. But I think there are some things that have gone on way too long that we are entrenched with. And so we just need to, how do you fight back? Well, one way you fight back, whether you like Donald Trump or not, is somebody like him. He's popular with the people who have been oppressed or who are tired of the status quo, or those who are just fed up with real politicians that have been elected over and over again. And those are probably the ways you do try to fight back. Hopefully you get people in office who don't have an agenda at all. Now, Craig happens to think that Donald does have an agenda, that, you know, you don't get to where you are doing what he's done by not. We'll see. I mean, I'm talking like the guy's been elected president. That's a long way to go still, a real long way. Let's go to Phil in Fortuna, California, west of the Rockies. Phil, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hi. Julia Louise Dreyfus is going to be the lady that Donald Trump chooses to be the vice president.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, she knows how to speak New York, and she's been the vice president on HBO for years now, and she's one happening babe.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't think he'd pick her.
I don't think so either, but it would be kind of cute if he did.
Well, it would be funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least.
I'm for Bernie myself, so.
I don't think he's going to get it, though.
No, but he's out there rooting. You know, you got to give him credit for that.
What would you do if Hillary asked him to be her running mate?
Well, I think that would be, I'd rather see him the president, but I think that would be better than nothing, you know, if she gets the nomination and everything. But then I think that he's 75 and all that and old. And
yeah, that may not work out for him.
Yeah, it's better that she chooses somebody younger, I think.
I think so, too. All right, we're going to watch all of this unfold. Prediction time. I've said all along that I thought this was going to be a brokered convention. Had Ted Cruz stayed in this race with his delegates, he's got over 500, I would still have stayed that after everything we're seeing, that this could have been a brokered convention. So I'm a little shocked, too, that Ted Cruz jumped out today and called it quits. You would think that Donald Trump has nothing to block him. But we'll see. I want to watch a few more. I want to see him get to that delegate count and see what happens at the convention. I predicted a brokered convention, and we'll see if that comes to be or not. We've got David in North Dakota. Welcome to the program. Hi, David. You're on the air with us.
I was wondering kind of what you thought about, like, instead of a three-way convention, having like a four-way with Trump, Bush, Sanders, and Clinton. I guess I was thinking this was possible because Kasich is probably going to take a lot of Cruz's votes and possibly lead to a brokered convention that way. And then you got the Rules Committee, too, that that could make up any rule they want when they don't like Trump so much, you know.
Well, that could be.
Yeah.
It could be. So you're saying the brokered convention is still a possibility?
Oh, yeah. Yep. I'm pretty sure it's going to come to that, just the way the mainstream hates Trump, you know. I can't see them letting it go, even though it looks inevitable, but, you know, because, well, like, and then, you know,
all right, well, you gave it your best shot. Thanks. Hey, the other points were perfect. Don't worry about that. Jackie in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Hello, Jackie. Go ahead.
Hello. I get back to scary stories.
All righty.
Okay. I used to live in Colorado, and coming from Colorado to Harrisburg on Route 25, about 2:00 in the morning. This was way before cell phones. Everybody had a CB. The truckers had CBs in their trucks. Now you're talking about coming across the prairie. No towns or anything around. There were two trucks that were coming towards us. No chatter on the CB radios. We were listening. We got about 2 miles from them and came alongside the road. There were down quilt, sleeping bags, all kinds of stuff laying along the road. And inside one of the sleeping bags, there was someone in it with their, you know, could see their hair. So we stopped the car. My husband was always a good one to help people. I got, first time in my life, because I'm not afraid of anybody or anything.
Tough.
I started shaking, and I said, you cannot get out of this car.
Stay in it.
You know, and he says, well, it is odd that the truckers weren't talking about that because it's something unusual, seeing all this nice stuff laying here. So we finally went to the next town, got a payphone, called the state police, told them what we saw. They asked us to go back and wait for them. So we did. When we got there, everything was gone.
Wow.
And so we went back and called the state police, told them that everything was gone, and we went on our way. But about a month before that, up near Colorado Springs, they had found a woman's body all dismembered. So,
God.
You know, that probably was in the back of my head, but it was just one of those weird, scary things.
You did. You did the smart thing, Jackie. You did the smart thing. We'll come back in a moment. More open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Well, already 50 tickets sold tonight in Asheville, North Carolina for the August event. That is cool. There's a link there at coasttocoastam.com down there at the bottom. And from those of you emailing me, yes, Doc Wallach will be our guest tomorrow night on Coast to Coast for the first couple hours, taking your calls as well. The guy is an amazing encyclopedia of health and medical issues. He really is. First couple hours, we have him on every month from criticalhealthnews.com. Great guy. Amanda in Queens, New York, east of the Rockies. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning. I'm so glad to speak with you.
Glad you got in.
Me too. I just have two little items. When I was about nine or 10, I couldn't sleep one night.
Uh-huh.
And to make myself comfortable, I just was staring at this ribbon that was hanging on a light bulb that my mother had put up for me to reach. All of a sudden, it started to sway back and forth and back and forth, and it couldn't have been a breeze because then it would have gone in one direction. But then all of a sudden, it abruptly stopped, it curled up, and it came down straight. And I hid under the pillow until the next morning when the sun came out.
Nothing like those pillows for those things.
Oh, God,
huh?
Yes. I'm so glad. But it never happened again, but I never forgot it. And I'm 79 years old, and it was like it happened yesterday.
God, and you sound like you're in your 40s.
Oh, thank you.
Good for you.
I feel now that I'm 40, now that you say it.
Good.
And the other experience I had, I'm sure it was angelic. I was driving. I hydrofoiled as I was going on to the highway. And I got on the highway, and my car turned completely around facing traffic.
Oh, scary. Oh.
That's another thing I never forgot. But luckily, there wasn't a car near me. I don't know how that
you
happened.
You are lucky there.
Oh, it was the angels. And I could see, it seems when I looked out the window, all the cars seemed to be lined up far enough away, almost as if they all stopped, saw me, maybe gave me a chance to get off. And I had a chance to turn the car around and get off the highway.
Wow. Shaking, I bet. Shaking.
Yeah. Oh, I was shaking for 2 weeks after that.
I believe that.
But don't you think it could have been an angelic experience?
Absolutely. Miracles happen all the time.
Oh, I believe that too. Thank
yep.
God. And I'm not going to take your... Oh, I'm a Gemini too, by the way. Oh,
when's your birthday?
The 18th.
I'm the 4th.
I know. And
do you have two personalities?
Yes. I don't know. I begin to... Now that you...
I think I do. I do not. I do. I do not.
You do?
I do not. I do.
Not.
I do.
Yeah.
Didn't you get that? Two personalities? I was doing that thing. I do. I do not.
I wonder how that happened. I do know that many times I think, well, I'm going to do it this way. And all of a sudden, my mind will say, no, don't do it that way. Do it this way.
Yep. That's the other one. That's the other Gemini.
Yeah, so we are two people.
You got it. Okay, Amanda, thanks.
I just had one more thing.
What?
I'm gonna two dreams I had that actually fell into place.
What do you
I'm
mean?
I'm not going to go into it because you're busy, but I believe that you could see into the future.
Oh, of course you can. And did you see the future? What did you see?
Well, my mother and I went to a restaurant. We had a mutual birthday, and I went in, and it was just the two of us. And the maitre d' came over, and he asked me to dance. I danced with him. And then this other man came over. He asked me to dance. He was in a party of three. And I remember he had sandy brown hair, crew cut. And we were dancing, and he was throwing me around the room, and everybody went away from us, and all of a sudden he tripped on a chair.
No.
Yeah, and well, that's exactly what happened.
Did he go flying?
That was my, I don't remember, I remember tripping on the chair.
Did you pick him up?
No, well, he didn't fall.
Oh.
And, I dreamt that. So my mother and I did go to the restaurant, and it happened exactly
the
way.
Same thing.
And
yep.
As soon as that man tripped on the chair, I remembered, and yep. I even said to my mother, you're not going to believe, but I dreamt this.
It's a precognitive dream.
Yeah, so these things do happen.
They do indeed.
And the other dream was when I belonged to a country club, and we have a social casual night, and everybody is happy, played dancing and everything, you know. And I came there one night, everybody was in dark suits and very somber, and I didn't know why.
Is this in a dream or for real?
This was first in the dream.
Okay.
And then when I went down to the club, there they were. I couldn't imagine why in my dream, why they were so somber and in dark suits. Well, anyway, I found out it seemed one of the fathers of one of the club members passed away, and they had just come back from a wake. But I dreamed that.
You dream. Yeah, that's what you've got that power. All right. Thanks, Amanda.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Hydroplaning, by the way, if that's never happened to you, that's pretty scary. And that's when a bead of water gets between your tire and the road and literally lifts the car just a minute amount of space, but enough to just make it glide like it's on ice. Horrible feeling, especially if you can't control your car. Tom, you got another text message for me? What do you have back there?
We sure do. This is from Domingo in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Domingo.
Domingo, like Sunday in Spanish, right?
Si.
Si. I'll keep it light. No election talk. I want to know if you've ever seen a shadow animal.
Oh, yes. Yes, I have.
What have you seen?
People might remember my story back many years ago of the shadow rodents.
Do tell.
I saw going across the road. I don't think you were working that night.
Rodents?
Rodents. A whole series of them. They look like armadillos, right? But they had these little antenna sticking up, and there were shadows, all of them. There must have been 8 of them, all shadows going across the road when I was driving one day. And I've never seen anything like that before. Bizarre.
But they're just shadows.
They're shadows of animals that I think were from another dimension or something. I mean, they were just all in, were all in line, these little armadillos with antennas sticking out of them, just going right across the road.
So that would beg the question, why would they come from another dimension?
I think they stumble across. The portals open up, and in they come. You don't remember, what was that Twilight Zone movie, The Little Girl?
Little Girl Lost.
Yeah, it's just like that. Something opened up, a gateway opened up, and she fell in it.
Yeah,
and,
great one.
You know, and what was she saying?
Mommy, help!
Where are you, Daddy? Where are you? And he went in there to get her.
Half of him. No, he did go in fully, I think.
He did get her. All right, thanks, Tom. Next up, we go to Barbara in Los Angeles. Welcome to the show. Hi, Barbara. Thanks for calling.
Hi, I just want to tell you there's an assembly bill in the California State Legislature, AB 2395, which is going to get rid of all landlines in California.
Really?
Yeah. Well, what they're doing is they're saying, well, we're going to look for alternatives, and if we find one, then we're going to get rid of the landlines, but they're not going to keep the landlines and the alternatives.
Why is it even their business whether people have landline phones or not?
Well, I don't know. One of the reasons is supposedly it's not as environmentally beneficial to have landlines. I don't know.
They're safer than cell phones beaming all over the place.
Well, I know one thing. I'm really opposed to it because I love my landline. And
well, it's better quality, too.
And, yeah, and like I live in earthquake country like you do when you're out here in L.A., and I would hate not to have it.
Well, you know what? Landlines are going away. The toll booths are going away. But I think to pass a law prohibiting them is kind of unconstitutional. I'd go crazy if I were AT&T. They're probably the owners of most of the landlines out there.
Well, it's not the phone equipment at your house. It's going to be the line.
It's the line. But without the line, your phone's no good.
Yeah, that's true.
Got to have that. Okay, Barb, thanks for the call. Next up, let's go to Will in the state of Michigan. Where might you be in Michigan, Will?
Well, no, I'm in Illinois. I went through Indiana and Illinois.
You drove through already.
I'm a truck driver. I'm the one that found that dog.
Yeah. That's right. What's happening there? Give me an update.
Well, you know, I wanted to talk about something else, but yeah, more than love to update you on that. They're trying to go with non-prosthetics. Because the one, and I'm amazed that they were able to save that left paw, is I saw the bone marrow of all the bones going across. Well, they closed that up and they grabbed it, bowed onto it, they closed up the top part, grabbed his skin so it wouldn't be so tight because it was a pretty big opening. And so he kind of walked on that. You can see the video I think it's you carrying and the Barstow Humane Society. And then the other one was half shot off. So he had not the front paws pads, but the back pad, like your heel or your hand.
Yeah.
And he was kind of walking on that pretty good. But I think they kind of were thinking maybe give him prosthetic toes so it'd be a little more
stable.
Yeah, that it wouldn't be so severe on his paw, because being a young puppy like that, he's going to have a long time on that limb.
How did our fundraiser go for him?
Well, I haven't been able to really tell because I'm not yet an insider. I want to be now. But if it was attached to you caring, it helped quite a bit. It put him over the limit they had. So, you know, that's pretty good. And I'm hoping that we're high up on the list. In fact, kind of heard a back channel that we would get them, because I already
told
you I'd be more than happy to make up the difference.
Sure.
He said, well, you know, if you really want them, there's going to be more costs involved. And I said, hey, we have no problem with that. Here's our vet we have at home. Talk to them. You know, we always take our dog to the vet, even just for regular checkups.
And this is a dog, for people who don't know, that had its front paw blown off by some idiot with a shotgun.
Yeah, plus some of the pellets landed close to his spine, and they're hoping that that'll stay because, they, you know, that's a lot of money there.
Yeah, if they shift, it's a mess.
Yeah, but I'm glad you asked about Vernon. But originally I called about, we were talking earlier about politics and religion. They're mixing together. In fact, you're talking about the times you live in, you know, the old Chinese saying, you know, the times you live in. It'd be interesting, you know, about the people that lived during, you know, see Jesus crucified. Well, they get to, this, I believe, this generation will get to see him come back, which is going to be pretty difficult because of the One World Corporation. They want the One World Corporation, One World Government, One World Religion. You know, they want their own army, and the way that they need an army is to keep people down. They want to be truly free.
If he comes back, is that good or bad for us? I believe, if I remember my schoolings in Catholic Church, it's a good thing.
Oh, sure. And here's the thing about it is, you know, a lot of people are worried about free will. When he comes back, he's going to destroy the earth with fire.
Nice.
And it's going to put it brand new back the way it was in the Garden of Eden. And then for another 1,000 years, for the survivors that physically survived the end times, then he's going to have the people live under the rule of Christ. He'll walk among the people. But since we're going to still have free will, there will be people that don't want to do anything to do with it. So there'll be another uprising at the end of the 1,000 years. And they're going to do away with that and get rid of that evil, you know, tendency in man. And then we'll go on from there. How it's going to be, I don't know. But, there's a group in this country, born-again Christians, but also in the primary revolution of America, it wasn't kind of a real revolution because we didn't take control of the power seat in London. But we did take control of this, you know, this colony. And that is 3% of the people at the time that fought that actually freed this country. Now there's another group, they're calling themselves the 3%ers that are rising up in this country that are willing to fight to keep it, you know, from being into the hands of a one-world government, because we all know that something's seriously wrong.
Oh, something's happening there, Will. There's no doubt. And for a lot of people who are concerned about end times, you've got to look at an older movie called Knowing with Nicolas Cage. Absolutely riveting. And definitely take a look at it. It's a planet killer movie, but it does have a pretty enlightened ending, to be sure. Will, thanks for the call. Let's take a few more before the break. First-time caller, Derek in Texas. Hi, Derek.
Hey, sir. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Oh, man, I finally got a hold of y'all. I work for the Air Force over here in Abilene, Texas.
Oh, good. Thanks for serving, by the way.
Yes, sir. You're welcome. I happened to climb in the truck one day to go out and do a job. And y'all were talking about black-eyed kids.
Oh, scary stuff.
Oh, man, I couldn't get out of the truck. I had to stand there and listen. But, yeah, I got kind of a scary story. When I was growing up, my parents were into horror films. And they never kicked me out of the room when they were watching them.
Oh, boy, so there's a little boy watching these things, right?
Yes, sir. And I guess I just kind of grew into it. And, like, I have this innate fear of what I can't see in the dark. You know, I'm not afraid of the dark, but I'm afraid of what I can't see.
Uh-huh.
And I'm an avid hunter. I love to deer hunt, and you got to get out, you know, 2 hours before daylight to hunt. And I was sitting one time, and I was on the ground. I was learning how to hunt over here in West Texas, and just sitting out in the wide open, and I passed out on my little tripod chair. And it was after listening to one of y'all's skits about Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell asleep, and then I felt something breathing on my ear.
Oh.
And I just opened my eyes, because I know you're not supposed to jump whenever you're deer hunting. And I just happened to look out the side, and all I seen was brown fur, and I lost my mind.
Wow.
And I don't know what it is. I'm afraid of what I can't see in the dark, but I'll fall asleep in the middle of the wilderness.
What do you think that creature was?
Oh, it was a big doe. I didn't jump or go crazy, but, like, I lost my breath, and I went cold for a few minutes, and she just kind of walked off. I don't know how she didn't know I was shooting.
And when you go to sleep, you've got your rifle with you, right?
I'm actually a bow hunter.
Oh, you are?
Yes, sir.
How long have you been doing that?
I've been shooting bows since I was about 10 years old, but I never actually harvested my first deer until a couple years back.
What's the farthest you can shoot to hit a target?
The furthest shot I've ever taken personally is probably about 65 yards, and I can put a really good pattern at about that far. But I've seen a gentleman. I drove up to this bow range one time, and he's just launching arrows, and I finally got up to where he was at, and it was easily 120 yards. This guy was he was launching them.
And let me ask you, in all these movies we see, Braveheart and things, when they shot arrows, why do they shoot them way up high and then they come way down into their target?
What gets me confused about those movies is you see a lot of like tiny guys shooting those types of bows.
Yeah.
Those bows back then were designed to launch rockets. And I mean, you're pulling back 120, 150 pound bows made out of the types of trees that they had back
right.
then were super treated. And I mean, they launched them really high. And I mean, they practiced enough that they knew how far they pulled back that bow, where that arrow was going to go. And they were heavy enough to go through whatever armor whoever was was wearing.
If you shot the arrow just straight, eye level, would it fade faster and then just hit the ground?
It depends on weight of arrow, strength of bow. I mean, the types of bows we got now are really close to, pellet rifles back in the 90s. And you can see them crest. Like the bow I shoot about 30 yards, and it starts to crest down. But I can pretty close to almost level shoot almost 50 yards.
Good for you. Good for you. Hey, we're going to come back in a moment and take some more open line calls next hour. I might do an open line one night on just things we never knew, like this. I got more information from him on being a bow and arrow person than anybody I've ever talked to. I'd love to share things with people who have been doing things, like the auto mechanic who does certain things. That would be fascinating. What a night that would be. Okay, we're going to take this quick break, and we're going to come back for another hour to go of Open Lines. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM.